you consider taking a senior executive service position in the federal government? That's the question being asked in a new report, Taking the Helm, Attracting the Next Generation of Federal Employees. The Senior Executives Association surveyed the views of about 12,000 GS-14s and 15s on this issue. And here with the results of the survey is Carol Bonacero. She is president of the Senior Executive Association. Good morning. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Good morning, Jane. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, you know, this is a little surprising because GS-14s and 15s are a little hesitant about stepping up. Tell us what's behind that.
Well, it's really interesting. The results kind of surprised us. We asked GS-14s and 15s to think about the attractors and detractors to serving in SES positions, and then separately with for those who are more likely to go to ST or SL positions about those. And the primary detractor was work-life balance. So clearly the younger generation, if you will, has some hesitation about the notion of, you know, the 24/7 jobs that some of these senior executives have.
So did they give you an overwhelming no, we don't want to step up to these positions, or were you asking more nuanced questions? In other words, why would you or why wouldn't you?
Well, the majority of those who responded to the survey said they were interested nonetheless in these positions. But on the other hand, fewer than half of them said the attractors outweighed the detractors. So there's a little bit of
ambivalence.
Ambivalence. Thank you. It's too early in the morning for me to come up with that word.
No problem. All right. And yes, I think that is a very significant issue, the work-life balance. They see the SES managers that they're working with today really putting in extraordinary hours when they're called upon to get the work done. It's absolutely necessary for them to be there. So how do you get around that, Carol? You know, being a leader in any job requires extraordinary effort at times.
It does. And, you know, although we recommend that some thought be given to work-life balance in these positions, as a practical matter, we know it's extraordinarily unlikely. So then the question is, what can you do to tip that scale? One of the issues, of course, even though pay is not, was not seen as a top attractor or detractor, a lot of the comments were directed at the fact that the difference in pay just was not commensurate with the responsibility. So one of the things that could be done is to reform some of the aspects of pay in the SES and these equivalent positions.
So they're saying basically sometimes SES members run into caps on their salaries.
Well,
is that part of the issue, or is it just that it's just not high enough above a GS-15?
Well, there are a couple of issues. It is not high enough above a 15, but there is no locality pay for senior executives, and there's no annual comparability adjustment. Everything is based upon performance. So as these GS-14s and 15s look at the pay, it's not sufficient. I mean, the average SES pay, in spite of the cap of almost $180,000, the last data we have from OPM says that average pay is around $164,000. That's very close to what a lot of these 15s are earning.
We're talking this morning to Carol Bonacero. She's talking about a survey of GS-14s and 15s that was recently completed. And, of course, she's the head of the Senior Executives Association. So you got about 11,000 responses to the survey and 3,700 narrative comments. What were the good parts that they talked about in transitioning to an SES career?
Well, you know, interestingly enough, what they said really attracted them was being able to contribute to the mission of the organization, having the opportunity to be creative, the honor of serving. A lot of the factors which we know contribute to senior executives who are working in the government today and why they stay. They really care about what they do and the opportunity to contribute. So that is appealing to them, and we think that agencies can do more to let these potential applicants know about the SES and equivalent positions, how to apply for them, how to position themselves for them. So it's a matter of both breaking down some of those detractors to the extent possible, as well as making emphasizing the attractions.
Because this is going to be an issue in the years ahead. Senior executive service members are generally the more senior level people, and they are probably many of them eligible for retirement or will be in the real near future. So obviously they've got to do something to recruit people into these ranks.
Well, they do. You know, it's not as though no one's applying for these jobs, but I think the issue is whether we're going to get the very best people. And we don't want to dissuade really well-qualified potential candidates from applying. And too often over the last couple of years, I and others in SEA have heard from senior executives that as they try to persuade potential candidates to apply, they're getting a response that says, you know, thank you, but no thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's unfortunate.
Well, we thank you so much for joining us to talk about the survey. We'll link the results at federalnewsradio.com. And Carol, we'll talk to you very soon.
Thank you very much, Shane. Right.